Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
If you got a Bible, let's turn to James chapter 1. I'm going to go very quickly this morning because we have a baptism, if you didn't know. And I'm going to move very quickly because I believe there's some people in the room right now you're going to get baptized and you weren't planning to. I need to give you time to find some shorts. When we started this church, I would bring, like, I had some extra basketball shorts and I would bring them. And I'd have, like, three pair that I would bring. And, like, people would get baptized and they'd go change and other people would have to put on these wet shorts and come. I have the most anointed basketball shorts. Why I didn't think to just buy some, I don't know. I would just bring my own, and they were very anointed basketball shorts. All right, James chapter 1. Friday night was kind of amazing. We had the river of God come through here. That was pretty good, right? Is anybody with me here? You guys are good, right? Let's just welcome the presence of God, shall we? Father, Jesus, you're alive, and I have no desire to learn about a dead God today. Your activity is not emotion, but it may touch our emotion. Your activity is not knowledge, but it may bring knowledge. My God is not understanding, though he may bring understanding. Father, you are living, and we welcome the Spirit of the living God in here right now. Come on, let's just walk. I'm not going on without the presence of God. It's not just something we do during worship. A lot of churches these days only fire in their churches in their logo. Whole denominations. We decided a long time ago that we're not going on without the presence. Only thing worse than God not being in a church service is God not being in a church service and acting like he is. We'll acknowledge he's not here. At least we can pray that he would come. But if you fake it, you got nothing to attain. Anybody know how to fake God? Fake like he's around? You learn your churchianity. You learn your little Christian lingo. You don't want to give a real tithe. You wad a couple of $1 bills in your hand to put it in the offering. Look, I want people to think I'm a giver. You're not fooling God. You can't fool God. $3 is your tithe? Man, you do it with knowing that God sees it and he's going to bless you. But if you're doing it for other people, you already got your reward. Why give anything? I don't know who that's for. You guys with me? Are we sad now or are we still happy? I'm amazed. I'm in love. How about you? He set a fire in my soul, Mike. And I can't control. But you know, I still want more of God. James chapter 1, you there? You guys there? You ready? You got a Bible? James chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 21. You ready? Does anybody else notice they're printing Bibles smaller than they used to? You younger people probably don't notice that, but it's like as I get older, they keep printing them smaller. Does anybody else notice that? They used to be nice big clear print. Now it's like microfish. Yeah, not anointed. All right, verse 21, you there? Are you all with me? All right, tell your neighbor, say he's going to keep telling jokes. Till you pay attention. You ready? Verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers, who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself, and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. And can you say amen to the reading of the word? The title of my message today, I got it right here in the little handout, if you got a handout, Keeping Your Breakthrough. Keeping Your Breakthrough. You know, breakthrough can come a lot of ways. A lot of times we're under things. We have obstacles in our life. We have emotional oppression. We have spiritual oppression. We have things that we plateau in life, and we deal with problems spiritually. And then we just need a breakthrough. We need this thing to break off. We need to come into promised land. And we kind of specialize in breakthrough in this house. We specialize in getting that touch of grace, that touch of freedom, that touch of hope. We kind of specialize in that. And I want to teach you, once you get that breakthrough, how you can keep it. Amen? Now, of course, breakthrough can come lots of ways. And what I found is different people specialize in different breakthrough anointings based on their gifting. And they begin to worship that as the only way or the main way of breakthrough. But different people have different gifts to minister different means of breakthrough. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, deliverance is a pretty good way to get breakthrough. But some people believe it's the only way to get breakthrough. It's not. But deliverance people specialize in deliverance, and they think that's all it is. Error comes when we overemphasize one aspect. That's the easiest way to get into error, biblically. It's called error by overemphasis. And when you have a minister, and he has a very specialized ministry, and you get underneath him or her, and all of a sudden, that style of ministry becomes more important than every other truth that the Word teaches and that the Holy Spirit talks about. And then you just slide right into error because you devalue other moves of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So we can get deliverance. That's good. Sometimes we can get a prophetic word that not only sparks hope, but affects us, and it speaks forth a forth-telling word that causes something to come to pass, and it will bring breakthroughs. Anybody experienced that before? I have. It's pretty good stuff. Sometimes you can have a sovereign encounter with God. Those might be my favorite. And that's in your prayer closet or just walking down the street, or you're in worship, and Jesus shows up. And Jesus just says, I'm skipping people. I'm just going to come and invade your life right now, and I'm going to bring breakthrough. I like that one. Oftentimes, your negative experience will bring breakthrough, and we call that repentance. People wonder why folks in jail, oh, he's in prison, of course, now he gets saved. Well, when you find yourself at the bottom, it's a lot easier to repent. Why? Because pride has been displaced. And pride is the greatest barrier to receiving from God. There is no greater spiritual blockage than pride. Over and over, Jesus said, it's your pride, it's your self-sufficiency, it's you thinking you got it all figured out, that basically what you tell God is, I don't really need you because I got it worked out. I got this. I don't want to look foolish to other people. I don't want to have to humble myself. All right, well, you just stay on your pulpit of pride. But when you humble yourself, the Bible says that he resists the proud, but he gives grace or power or charismata to the humble. You humble yourself, and instantly you position yourself for grace. And so if you are maybe have an overdose, or you find yourself in a situation that, you know, your world is falling apart, a lot of people receive Christ or receive their breakthrough because pride has been eliminated. And that humility is now an open road to receiving from God. Please say amen. You get saved in jail, it's just like getting saved here. It's just like getting saved sovereignly. Saved is saved. Amen? There's not different kinds of saved, different levels. You saved, you're not saved. And, hopefully it will not take people to bottom out to get saved. But if it is what it is. You may get your breakthrough through impartation. What's that look like? That looks like someone who carries breakthrough on them in a certain area. They pray for you and you just get what they had. It's biblical. It's all over the Bible. I don't have time to teach on it right now, but we have teaching for days on that, really, on the website. But if somebody has something you want, you sit under them and you'll get it. You serve someone with the gifting that you want and you'll get it. And you'll get that breakthrough. I mean, you could try to plow the hardened ground on your own if you want until you get breakthrough. I recommend you sit under somebody who's got it. Honor somebody with a gift that you desire or a gifting. And so there's all these different ways to get breakthrough. And as Spirit-filled believers, we can have a tendency to have breakthrough addiction. We value this mountaintop experience of breakthrough above sometimes walking whole. I like breakthrough. I like it better when I don't need breakthrough. Now, I'm excited when I get the breakthrough. I'm excited when God visits and he sovereignly saves me. But I really don't like thinking that I got myself into a position I need to be saved from. Does that make sense? And it's our desire to walk through wholeness. Now, again, and I don't want to beat up on charismatics, you know, because I am one. But, man, we just get funky doctrine. And people, again, we just live from mountaintop to mountaintop. And we don't value the valleys. We don't value consistency sometimes. We don't value maturity. We value, you know, what's flashy. And without trying to be insulting, although it's going to be insulting to some people. I may just insult some people today. Let me just put it out there. Because I'm going to preach against a lifestyle that some people embrace. And it's not biblical. There is, what's a word I can use that's not offensive? I'll say poverty spirit. Okay? The poverty spirit glorifies flashy stuff. I'll use a different word. A ghetto mentality glorifies flashy. Who has known somebody who got a brand new, nice car sitting in their broke down house driveway with no grass? That's a manifestation of a poverty spirit. That's a ghetto mentality. You got broken windows in your house. A rug looks like Sanford and Son came and installed it 40 years ago. Look at my watch. Look at my car. Like, you stupid. Show me your job. Show me your retirement account. Come on. And this is a manifestation of a poverty spirit. And we just drag this right into spirituality, and we start saying God is the God of the breakthrough. He is. Amen? But he is much more the God of three generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? He's a God of, I have an inheritance and I'm going to give my children. He's the God of, I'm going to put off a little bit of pleasure today for tomorrow. He's a God of delayed gratification. He's a God of faithfulness and long suffering, way more than I'll do any stupid thing I want because hopefully God will bail me out. I was listening to some music this morning on the radio. Gosh, I'm really trying to be good, honey. I really am. I really, really, really am. And I heard another song about people being lied on. I'm like, why are people so upset about getting lied on? I've been lied on, but I'm still trusting you, Jesus. I love gospel music. I love it. I love gospel music. But a lot of it isn't the gospel. It's just not the gospel. The gospel is do whatever you want. I'm in control of me, and I'm going to worship Jesus. If I focus on every person who lied on me, I wouldn't be up here preaching. I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Used, abused. Like, why are you singing about it? Why are you singing about it? Why are you singing about it? Is that the best thing you got going on in your life? Long as I got King D. Do you have him? Because you seem to be focused on something else. Don't need nobody else. Like, what does that mean? If you got Jesus, he's going to tell you you need some people. So, oh, I'm sorry. Gosh, I haven't even gotten to my first point yet. Listen. If you're taking notes, write this down. The goal is not to feel better, but to be better. Let me say it again. The goal is not to feel better, but to be better. Now, if I tell everybody in here how you lied on me, I might feel a little better, but I'm in more sin than I was when you were lying on me. What I need to do is learn how to walk in forgiveness. And I got to tell people who tell me about the people who lied on me not to talk to me anymore. I know you like to gossip about them and get me worked up, but I'm not interested any longer. Let me just cut myself off. They can talk all they want. That's not what I'm, it's not what I'm shaping my life on. And I don't know if you have noticed this. Walk with Jesus a little bit and all your enemies will gather at some point. Does anybody notice that? Gosh, what am I talking about here, honey? I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to talk. You could have two friends, can't stand each other. Let them be mad at you. All of a sudden, they're best friends. I'm like, that's an interesting concept right there. Y'all are all buddies now, talking to each other. Isn't that great? What y'all got in common? You hate me. You ain't with Jesus. You're not walking with God. You're away from God. We got to learn how to live in a place of breakthrough where our lives aren't dictated by our offenses, by our lacks, by our lack of prosperity. We got to live a life that embraces truth and walks in the power of the Holy Ghost. That is a prosperity mentality that says, I know you may have been trapped in sin and sinned against me, but I don't hold that against you. And I have an open door and an open heart that says, when you're ready to walk in fellowship, I'm here. I got nothing against you. You don't have any barrier to get over to come back into my life because I am in control of me. Your offense, your judgment, your bitterness, your lied on, cheated, talked about, mystery, that you built that wall, not me. And I'm not going to honor the wall that you built. I'm right here. I'm open. Does this make sense? I want to walk with a heart of prosperity and breakthrough where I don't let obstacles that come toward me define my barriers. That's a good word right there. And so the lie comes and liars come and the enemy sends people, sometimes your best friend, sometimes your family will come and they'll build all kind of walls in telling you that's what defines you. What you did in the past, what your bank account looks like, what your experiences have been, where you come from, what you were addicted to. All of a sudden these are walls and they're only walls if you honor them. I choose to honor this right here. Our goal is not to feel better. Our goal is to be better. Amen? And so here's what we want to do. I want to talk about how when you get breakthrough, because sometimes that oppression is so hard, so thick, so heavy, it's hard to breathe. You know what I'm talking about? You know, it's hard to breathe. And you just, some of you, you view life through that oppression. It's a Leviathan that sits on your soul and it colors everything you see. Everything's negative. Everything is oppression. Everything is colored by this disappointment or this hurt or this lack. It's a Leviathan. It is a massive, oppressive spirit. And if I could cast it out of you, I would. But all you have to do is depower it. All you got to do is choke it from power and it has to leave. Because it's empowered by you, your thoughts, your will, your emotion, your words, your actions. Listen, someone's gossiping about you. You want it to continue? Engage them. Repeat their words. Get offended. Well, what happens when someone comes to you and they say, oh, here's what they said about you. You say, oh, that's disappointing because I really like them. I think they're a good person. I'm not sure why they would say that about me, but I'm open for friendship whenever they are. Now, what is there? What is there? You've just depowered them, right? Who's bigger now? Who's bigger? Yeah. Who's bigger? So you want to walk in that, amen? This is for someone. Could be for me. We're all being healed, amen? Right? We're all being healed. In the name of Jesus. All right, here we go. Listen, if that's you, if you're the one who habitually sows division, stop it. And you might need to apologize to some people. It really is freeing. Now, you don't need to go and tell people what you did to them. All right? I just feel like I need to say this, and then we'll move on. You don't need to go to somebody and say, I know you think we've been friends, but here's what I have thought about you. That's not helpful. People will come to me and say, Pastor, I just want to repent to you. I'm like, really? What for? Well, I thought that, nah, 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 nah. I don't need to hear everything that's bottled up in your soul that you want to insult me with. That's between you and Jesus. I forgive you. Go be free. But I want to tell you, no. I know you want to insult me. I'm gonna pass on that opportunity. Thank you. I'll just live without that. Here, come on. They try to be all spiritual about it. I just want to repent to you for thinking that you're just a liar because you thought you looked good in those clothes, and I really didn't, though I told you you did, and it really doesn't fit you, and you don't know. Try to do some sanctified insulting. No thanks. I'll pass. No, 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 really, I'm good. But I just went, no, 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 I'm good. I'm good. Nope, good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Goodness gracious. Okay, I'm going to run through this quickly because I want to baptize some people. You ready? Yeah. Number one, destroy the sinful habits that empower the enemy. Oh, I didn't get much cheering on that one. Destroy the sinful habits that empower the enemy. You get breakthrough. All of a sudden, you're like, I see freely, and I'm clear now, and I don't have to do the stuff I used to do. And you, what happens now is you choose to do it. By your choices, you give him new power. Does this make sense? He got kicked out of your life, and you just like, oh, wow, something pops in your head. Oh, let me just go do that. That's the enemy saying, can I move back in? Let me tell you what most deliverance is. Can I tell you what most deliverance is? Most deliverance is the enemy is in you, right? He's in you, and vexing your soul, right? And then someone casts it out of you. Very rarely is it cast to the dry place far away. Normally, it's from right here, right, to right here. Let me say, right here. Oh, why am I still dealing with this? I thought God got delivered. You did. You got to tell it that you got delivered from it. Right? It don't live here no more. You got to tell it, you don't live here. No, sorry. You don't live here anymore. Sorry, don't make me call down fire on you. Go away. Let's look at our scripture in James. He says, therefore, putting aside, James 1:21, right here at the very beginning, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. You got to put it aside. You got to deal with it. I can't cast out your sinful habits. Nobody can counsel you out of doing things that give power to the enemy. Right? Say, oh, I can't stand this neighbor who lives next door to me. He's constantly playing loud music. Hey, stop paying his rent. There's people who complain about people in their lives that you are codependent with. And you're empowering these people. Like, why do you keep engaging them? Well, they've said this and that, but they know you are empowering them to oppress you. Stop it. You're paying their rent in your life. Stop it. Stop it. So with your sinful habits, you empower the very thing that you are praying breakthrough for. You get breakthrough. Oh, I'm feeling so great now. Oh, let me fall into the old habits. Oh, what do you know? The enemy's here in the midst of those habits. Because it was the habits that brought the oppression. Right? Listen here in John chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus had prayed for a dude, and he got healed. And he went to the temple, and he saw this guy. And he tells him in John 5, 14, he says, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you. That's kind of clear, right? It's kind of clear. You're like, oh, I'm oppressed again. I'm going to sin. No, you sin and you'll get oppressed again. You see the difference? So it's not my fault. The enemy made me do it. No, he didn't. You have a will. Some of you have a problem stopping this because you don't have enough power. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to just pray in tongues more. Oh, I'm dealing with this problem. How much are you praying in tongues a day? You pray an hour a day. Just wake up early. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost first. I'm going to drive in my car and pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost while I'm in the shower. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. When I was in college, I used to walk around just praying in the Holy Ghost. Half-naked women everywhere. I'm trying to walk out my sanctification. I'm just praying in tongues. I figure there's people from all over the world here. They don't know what I'm saying. They could think I'm speaking Tajikistanish. I don't know. I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus. I'm just building up my spirit, man. You're wasting time looking at women. I'm building my spirit, man. Letting the Spirit of God grow on the inside of me. Prophesying over my own self. Come on, I need some power, Jesus. You know what I'm talking about, Mike. I need a little bit of power. Praying the Holy Ghost. I need some power right now. I need your presence on the inside. I'm building myself up in the most holy faith. Praying in tongues like Jude said. Can I get amen? Amen. Come on, just pray in the Holy Ghost for a moment. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Come on. You just get built up in the Holy Ghost. You're like, where's the interpretation? This ain't that kind of tongue. Get the teaching. If you can't pray in the Holy Ghost, we're going to give you an opportunity at the end of service. You need power. Amen? You need power. Amen? Your breakthrough has to be documented. I'm still on the first point. You got to write down. You got to write it down because your breakthrough is spiritual manna that you need to survive. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You write that down, and when the oppression comes, you go back to it. Oh, no, I've been delivered from this thing. Sorry, it's right here. I'm declaring the testimony, and it's building me up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You meditate on that testimony, the same breakthrough anointing comes. Because it's right there. Meditate on the testimony, same breakthrough anointing comes. It's good stuff right here. Number two, you ready? Moving quickly, because we're going to baptize people. Number two, you ready? You ready? Okay. Number two. Number one was destroy the sinful habits that empower the enemy. Number two, get real with yourself. You sometimes just got to get real. Well, it's not that big a deal. It's not that big a problem. You a lie. Get real with yourself. Again, the goal is not to feel better. The goal is to be better. Let's go back to James 1:21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, here's what I want you to look at right here. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Leave it up if you would. Receive the word implanted through humility. Now, when I preach, some people look at this church and they look at the young people or whatever, and they look at me wearing some jeans and a little... me. And somehow, here's what's amazing. Somehow, they look at this as if the word I'm preaching is less powerful. They devalue the word of God because of who's saying it. What is that? Spiritual pride. Spiritual pride. I done heard it, been there, went to a Catherine Kuhlman meeting in 1987. I seen it all. Spiritual pride. Spiritual pride. It'll cut you off. God will bring you the freshest word you ever need through somebody you don't respect. See if you'll be humble enough to receive it. It's in my life. Sometimes I'll hear a word from somebody, and I'll be like, I don't even like that person. But something in me, it rings with me. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, it catches my ear. I'm like, I don't want to receive that from them. But if they're saying it, I've probably missed it twice already from someone else. Now, God's given me a last opportunity. If I'll humble myself, I'll get that word. So I'll receive that truth. God likes to hide the greatest breakthrough through areas you don't respect. So you have to get low enough to receive it. This is how he works. You have to constantly be humbling yourself to receive from God. Constantly be humbling yourself. It's a constant walk of humility. It's constant. Lord, root pride out of my life. Lord, I will receive what you are doing right now. Lord, this does not feel good. I feel humiliated. I feel embarrassed. I feel disrespected. And my need for all those things are clearly what you're dealing with. And so in humility, you have to receive this word implanted. Now, a lot of people hear teaching, but how often does it get implanted? How often you just sit through a message, oh, this is good stuff, feel good, and you go home and like you don't know anything just happened. You leave no different than you came. It didn't get implanted. You don't have ears to hear. You don't have eyes to see what God is doing. God brings breakthrough. And when you feel that breakthrough, when you get that taste of freedom, that smell of freedom, when you get that prophetic word that gives you hope where there was no hope, you need to get whatever truth you were blocking on the inside of you. It's got to get on the inside of you. Otherwise, there's still going to be an open place that the enemy can move back into. Romans 12:2 says, and you all know this scripture, do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove, say prove, so you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. When that breakthrough comes, here's what you have to do. I mean, I need you guys, this is the most important point I got right here. When that breakthrough comes, when you see that you're, when you find yourself in cycles of sin, now if you're a lover of sin, I can't help you. Some people just love their sin, and they just want to be right with God and keep their sin. That's who I'm talking to. I'm talking about people who, you don't like your sin. You're in sin, and you don't like it. And that could be different things to different people, but people who want to walk, you want to walk in freedom. You don't have that freedom because there is a lie that you have received as truth. And you've built part of your life on that lie. I'll use an example from earlier. If people don't show me respect, then I'm a lesser person. Therefore, I have to demand respect from people. That is a lie. Because your value is based on what someone will pay for you. Has anybody here bought a G-Shock or a set of Beats headphones? You know, you paid about 10 times more than it cost to make them. Right? But to you, it's worth that ridiculous sum of money. And so that's what you'll pay for it. It costs, you know, $25 to make a G-Shock watch. You pay $150 for one, we'll say. So to you, it's worth, the value is $150, not the $25 it took to make, right? Right? The Father paid for you with His Son, Jesus. Now, I think many of us aren't really worth that. But the Father, that's what He paid for us. Therefore, that is our real value. I'm worth what they paid for me. Right? So I'm worth Jesus. Right? And so if you devalue yourself to say, I'm only worth what respect that person shows me. Now, that's why you're not in victory, because you believe a lie. And it's not the truth. And so you could swing at the devil all day long, but the lie is in you. And you empower it with your belief system. You need to, when you get this breakthrough, you need to write it down and you need to meditate on the truth. We had a problem in this church a couple years ago. And there were people who felt called to be leaders in this house who didn't value the Word of God. And so they valued experience. I love experience. I live for experiences with God. I've built my ministry around allowing people to experience God, because He's an experiential God. And all those experiences should be contained within the confines of this book. Anything goes against this book, we say that's not right. Right? It's pretty easy, right? It all kind of goes together. You with me on this one? But these leaders really didn't value this book. And they would say things like, well, if God talked to Paul, He can talk to me. So my revelation is equal to Paul's. Now you're getting into some scary places. I've heard them say, well, if you read this Bible, Jesus only talked to unsaved people, so the words of Jesus aren't really for us as believers. I'm like, you demonized. You got problems. And they'll say, well, what you're saying, you know, Paul taught something different. Well, I'm not a disciple of Paul. I am. That's why Jesus had him write the book. What these people are really saying is, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I want to do whatever I want to do. And I want to tell other people what to do, but nobody can tell me what to do. Well, go for it. You know, build your church on that. See what happens. Build your marriage on that. See what happens. Build your business on, I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing. My daughter and I were, we went to a thrift shop yesterday. We're looking for some stuff because they're selling their house. And just, you know, needed a couple odds and ends, you know, for the. And so we walk in this shop, and they had like these two really realistic looking dogs in there. And then the dogs got up and started barking and running at us. Now, my daughter is terrified of dogs. And they were small dogs, very, very small dogs. But she's terrified of dogs. Now, what am I going to do? I'm going to say, I'll make my daughter uncomfortable so I can shop in your store? Or I just said, I said, okay. Closed the door and we went home. Not, can you put your dog away? Okay, you don't value my business enough to make it friendly. And that's your choice. Your business, run it however you want. Just do that. Let's see what I get. Just go ahead, do that. I was in a music store. I think I told this story in here already. I was in a music store recently. It's a local music store. It's not one of the big ones. And music stores go out of business fast in this area. So I like to visit local shops. I like to help small businesses. I like to empower that. And I'm in this business shop, and there's like a DJ set up, whatever, and they got this music, and like every fifth word, they're dropping an F-bomb. I'm like, are you stupid? Like, do you know how many churches buy live sound equipment? You know how many small churches are out there with musicians who are buying stuff? And you don't want our business. And that's okay. You don't have to have my business. But I don't have to sit here and listen to this nonsense. You want to build your ministry on that? You want to build your business on that? You want to build your, go, I mean, you could go for it. I'm just going to find somebody who doesn't do that. Because the internet, I could just order and it comes to me. That's who you're fighting with. I don't even have to leave my apartment or my house or my business. It just comes to me. Like, what are you building your life on? Do you want to feel better or do you want to be better? Makes me feel good to say that no one can tell me what to do. Well, good luck on raising your kids. Because that belief system's great until your kid turns about two. And if you don't get an idea at two that somebody needs to be in charge, 13 is going to be very difficult in your family. Anybody been 13 and know what you were dealing with? Oh, good Lord. Who wants that in your house? Come on now. You better figure out early. Someone's going to be in charge. There needs to be authority. And if you're not under authority, you can't be in authority. Because people will see through your hypocrisy. The enemy knows when you're not under authority. Good Lord, I'm trying to go fast here. Okay, it's only been 7 minutes. I'm good. Listen. I had a friend, we'll say. And he was dealing with, we'll say, oppression. Friend dealing with oppression. That I'm supposed to be somebody in their life. And I go to minister to them. Go to pray for them. And I'm praying for them. And then I see the demon. Now, once I see it, I own it. Once the Lord shows it to me, I have authority. There ain't a demon in hell that I can't cast out once I see it. I don't look for him, but when I see him, I take authority. So if it gets revealed to me, I kind of look at him. And sometimes they're like, oh, he sees me. And I'll be like, you know what that means now, right? You now have to go. I just say him like that. You know you have to go now, right? And I'll be like, Ron, go open the door. I'm serious. Who's seen me do it? Go open the door. The door's open. You have to leave now. You see this, right? People start, oh. I said, no. We don't need a parade. Just go. Then they leave, right? So I go up to this person with this oppression, significant oppression. And it manifests in front of me. I was like, huh? He's finally going to get free. This is going to be awesome. This is just going to change so many things. And the thing looked at me. I'm like, you see me? He goes, yeah. He goes, I said, get out. He's like, you don't have authority here anymore. He let me know that person doesn't honor me as a leader. You don't have authority here anymore. Ooh, well, that's a problem. Okay, you know. Bye. Move to the next person. Submit to what you want or don't. Say, I don't want anybody in charge. All right, well, keep what you got. That's all you're going to get. That's sobering, right? This word is real about authorities. It's real. And so this word has to be in control. Jesus has to be on the throne. We all have to be under covering. We all have to be submitted to authorities. We all need elders in our lives. We all need to submit to our husbands and our husbands to our wives, one to another. We need this in our lives. Otherwise, you start defining what good is. And so you'll live in a broke down house with your kids who don't know how to act, with a nice car in the driveway and terrible credit. And that's, oh, look at me, I come up. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Can I say that? Honey, can I say that? Or you have not. Haven't. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, we're closing. You ready? First close. You ready? Number three. Are you getting anything out of this? Number one, destroy the sinful habits that empower the enemy. Number two, get real. If you're not walking in freedom, just be real. Just be real. Don't wear it on your sleeve. How you doing, brother? Oh, I'm dealing with pornography. Whoa, all right. I'm just getting some cheese at the Publix here. You know, let's just, you know what I'm saying, you know? But be real. Be real. Some lady's like, oh, great, I get to complain to everybody I see now. No, that's not what we're talking about. Was that wrong or is that okay too? Number three, walk in truth. Walk in truth. Let's go back to James chapter 1 again if we could. Hey, tech team doing good today, huh? Good job. Yeah, give it up for them. They don't get a lot of credit. Tech team, children's ministry, we honor you so much. We're so thankful for you. The sign people, good Lord. You know, who sees the signs when you come in? I mean, most of you do because you all come late. So you see all the signs. I come here before the signs are up. I rarely get to see them, but I know how to get here, you know. But sign ministry, we honor you. Gosh, and the heat and all that. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 22. Prove yourselves doers of the word. Oh, Lord, now I got to do something. Let's back up a little bit here. Start from the beginning. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who, what? Who delude themselves. You know what that means, to delude yourself? You know what that means? That means like you're walking in a fantasy. Fantasy land. Anybody know people who are about to be signed to a major record deal? About to be. I'm about to be signed. Everybody's like, yeah, I don't think so, bro. That's probably not going to happen. Don't quit your job. Please don't quit your job. I'm about to be rich. Yeah, probably not, bro. Oh, I didn't want to say this. Okay. I got a word for the fellas, the single fellas. Single fellas who want a righteous marriage. You know what you look for in a woman? Look how she worships. If she is not a worshiper, gravity is a constant pull. But a worshiper only gets more beautiful. Listen. I don't know what that meant, but premarital counseling is starting soon. Oh, Jesus. Send the comforter. Listen, I don't care how she does her hair right now. You can only cover up so much for so long. It's like you can't hold back the sea. Gravity is a never-ending force. And if they're not a worshiper, right now is as cute as they'll ever be. Well, you get that grace working on the inside of you, you just get more beautiful. Am I right, Henry? Cardo, am I right? Watch some marriages. People walk with Jesus. The women just get more beautiful. I'm like, how old are you? 70? What? You look amazing. And the other people, what are you, 50? Oh, 20. Oh, that's... It's been hard. It's been a hard life, hasn't it? It's been a hard life. And rough.
Rough. Rough. Life is dog to rough.
Sin makes you ugly, right? People come in, how you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing good. No, I don't think so. You look like it's been rough.
Come on. Come on, you young guys, they look cute now because you're enticed by sin. That will wear on a woman. They look rough. Find a worshiper. They only get more beautiful. Thank you. Just get fun. Find a worshiper. They only get more beautiful. Oh, goodness. I don't know who that was for. Ready? Okay, verse 22. Ah, Jesus. You hear the word, you don't put it, you're deluding yourself. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks in his natural face in a mirror. Once he's looked at himself and gone away, he immediately has forgotten what kind of person he is. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed. Say blessed. Blessed in what he does. Listen, when if you just you get a little breakthrough and you don't walk in it, you don't start walking in truth, saying this is a problem for me. This area in my life is a problem. I've gotten breakthrough from it, but it's a problem. I'm just not going there anymore. I'm going to walk in truth. Not, oh, I got victory. I could probably do that again now. No, you can't. No, you can't. Oh, I'm just talking now. I'm married, so I can just talk to her now. No, dog, you can't. You sin with every girl you've ever been with, including the one you wound up marrying. No, you can't. Can I just be honest? No, you can't. Ladies, it's okay to tell your husband, you can't talk to other girls because I know you. I've been walking this thing out for a minute. Can I be honest with you? Nothing has come close to threatening my marriage. Ever. Anytime I'm alone with a woman, I call my wife. Often in front of them. Hey, honey, I'm talking directors in the church. I'm not just talking about any old girl off the street. I'm never alone with them. But I'll be at the church office with women who, I mean, I'm talking people that I married. I'm talking like Lillian Davis, married on the worship leader, loves Jesus. She'll be at the office of practice. I'll call my wife. Hey, honey, how you doing? What's for dinner? Okay, just want to let you know Lillian's here and, blinds are all open, doors unlocked. You know, I don't tell her that because that's a given. Let's all stay, just protect me, protect her, protect our reputations, protect the church. Let's just, you know what I mean? You got to set yourself up for victory, not failure. You got a gambling problem? I just like watching the dogs run. No, don't go to the track, dog. I just like horses. I'm an equestrian kind of guy. No, you're not. You're a gambler. Don't go to the track. No, honey, these pictures, I'm just looking at the Holy Spirit in them. No, you are not. Stop it. I don't know where I'm going with this. Okay, listen. Walk in truth, all right? If you got a problem, I got a problem with that. That's a problem area for me. And so I got to leave no open doors for it, right? And so you get this new freedom, right? You get this breakthrough. You get this freedom. You got to start walking in it. You got to stop looking at yourself as the person you used to be, right? Looks like I'm contradicting myself, but I'm not. You say, okay, I used to have this problem. Now I'm going to walk in freedom because that's who I am. Or I got this breakthrough into this new gifting. I just prayed for somebody that got healed. Or I got a prophecy. Look, I'm a healer. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with it? Wait till sick people get healed just by walking by? Oh, I'll just wait till my shadow heals some people. Then I know I got a healing gifting. No, that's stupid. You start praying for some people to get healed. This is who I am. I'm walking in it now. I am walking in it now. I'm not just a hearer of the word. I'm a doer of the word. I'm incorporating it into my life. Anybody hear what I'm talking about right now? Anybody hear what I'm talking about right now? So you're alone, you've been walking by yourself in sin, you got all kind of whatever in your life. You meet Jesus, you get impacted by him, you get this breakthrough. What are you gonna do? I'm just gonna go back to my own life. No, you get in a life group. No, I'm gonna get in a life group. I'm gonna walk this thing out with some people so I can have some people who actually know Jesus in my life telling me things that they see in me so I can walk in freedom. You got to have these relationships. Accountability far too often is people who point out what you're doing wrong, and that's not even what the word means. I need some accountability in my life. You mean you want me to be the law for you? No, I have no desire to be that at all. What is accountability? I need someone to keep me account of my abilities. This is how I have accountability with people. Sam, how many people you've been praying for, dog? Healing gift, you've been working that out? I know your abilities. Are you walking in them? Mike, what's happening with the new songs, bro? Where's it going with that? You get this flow of grace in who you are in your life. You're no longer worrying about the sin. But if we're all, okay, we're going to get together. I'm like, oh, I'm going to meet with pastor. We're going to talk about what I've been doing wrong, man. Okay, I've got to try to do things right. So I'm doing wrong. So we have the. That's stupid. You focus on what you got going on wrong. That's not an account of your abilities. That's an account of where you lack. I need the flow of grace in my life that gives me ability. And so I need some people in my life who's like, oh, hey, we got this person needs prayer for finance. I think you're called to financial breakthrough, aren't you? And then you get that prophetic word. Why don't you pray for them for some financial breakthrough? Because I see the ability on you, and I want to stoke that flame on the inside. Who knows what I'm talking about? This is what we do in life group. That's why we have life groups. Learn how to live life in breakthrough and in freedom and in prosperity. Who knows what I'm talking about? Stand to your feet. Come on, Mike. Come on. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray really quick. Jesus said to Thomas, listen, because you see me, you believe. But oh, how blessed you are when you believe without seeing. Some of you got this breakthrough and you're like, well, I don't see it in my life yet. Why don't you just believe what God said to you and begin walking in that revelation? Who knows what I'm talking about? You're like, I'm dealing with oppression. I can't get freedom. Here's your new plan of breakthrough. You ready? Let's not do all this walking around real quick. Let's just settle down for a second. When you're dealing with oppression, here's what you do. I'm going to read this until Jesus speaks to me. Start in Psalms, start in the Gospels. He will speak to you. And when that word jumps off the page, you write it down. That's Jesus speaking into my situation right now. And I'm not going to believe what I feel right now. I'm not going to believe what I see right now. I'm going to believe the truth that he has spoken to me right now. I'm building my house upon that, the rock, Jesus Christ. Not my disappointments, not my failures. So today, I'm going to give some people an opportunity to walk in newness of life.